Thank you, Eric. We pray before we start this message. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we could be here. Lord, we come to you in the matchless name of Jesus. Lord, again, we implore your presence. We pray, Lord, you will bless this word and make it life to us. Stir our hearts, our spirits, Lord. We are as dry bones and we need you so much. We pray that you will come in a great way. We really implore you, dear Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about hungering and thirsting for the Lord. We said that we need to come before him as empty vessels, empty of whatever is in our lives that is not of God, so that he can fill us with his Spirit. This morning, I would like to speak about this most phenomenal Spirit, the Spirit of the Almighty God, the third person of the Trinity, coming to live inside of you. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God coming to live inside of you. For what reason would a person want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What does baptism mean? Baptism means immersion. Now, years ago, when a person wanted to dye a cloth, they would take a cloth and immerse it in a basin filled with that dye. That process was called baptism. So baptism means immersion, immersed, filled with the Holy Spirit. So if a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, he or she is immersed or filled with the Holy Spirit. How did the early church develop and survive? The Lord used individuals who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Does the baptism in the Holy Spirit represent a level of status in the Pentecostal church? No. Why would a person want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Let's read what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. If you open your Bibles to John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 16 to 18. John chapter 14 and verses 16 to 18. Give you a moment to get there. John chapter 14 and verses 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus said that he, the Holy Spirit, dwells with you and shall be in you. So there is a difference between the Holy Spirit being with you, walking alongside you, and being immersed, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. But why would a person want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We all need to be comforted at different times in our lives. Sometimes we need to be comforted from a deep sorrow, the loss of someone close to us, we've experienced it. A breakup in a relationship, we've experienced it. Other times from an emotional hurt, the Holy Spirit is great at comforting and soothing your hurts. The Holy Spirit is the best comforter friend that you could ever have. Do you want to understand the Word of God better? He is the greatest teacher. No one could teach the Bible like the Holy Spirit because he is the author. John chapter 14, verse 26. I'll read it to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit also stimulates your memory and brings verses or hymns to mind in time of need. Were you ever troubled about something, worried about it? And a song, a hymn comes to your mind, and the words are right on the mark, just comforting you and letting you know the Lord is there for you and will take care of what you are worried about. That's the Holy Spirit. Do you need wisdom? Wisdom in decision making. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding? Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or has been his counselor? The Holy Spirit is wisdom beyond what we could imagine. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He gives counsel and advice. Those of you who remember the Sunday school teacher, Flora Vincenti, she was my Sunday school teacher. She had her mother, some of you maybe will, her mother had a nasty neighbor back in Pennsylvania. And it got so bad that the neighbor took her to court. And the neighbor had a lawyer. She didn't. They were very poor. She had no lawyer. There were no such thing as public defenders back then. So the judge recognized the lawyer that her neighbor had. Then he said, Mrs. Vincenti, where's the lawyer? She said, I don't have a lawyer. God is my lawyer. He's my defense. She won the case. She didn't have a lawyer. Her neighbor did. She won the case. God was her lawyer. Can't beat that. The Holy Spirit is the wisdom of the ages and an everlasting fountain of wisdom. Would you like to know the Lord much better and experience the reality of Jesus in your life? With the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will have a greater knowledge, understanding, and revelation of Jesus and God the Father, a closeness that you haven't previously experienced. John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and God the Father. Do you want to worship the Lord at a greater and higher level? Increased worship and adoration of the Lord will happen with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We just read John chapter 16, verse 14. He shall glorify me. Would you like to evangelize your witness for the Lord more effectively? John chapter 16, verses 26 and 27 read, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Who can testify or witness of Jesus better than the Holy Spirit? When His Spirit fills us, we can witness of Jesus more effectively. He can fill our mouths with proper words. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. It is not only your words, but also your actions that witness for Jesus. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, this condition will be evident in your actions also. Do you want power to strive against sin? As we read, Jesus said, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do you want to experience the type of friendship that the Lord offers? Someone we can talk to at any time of day or night. Someone to confide in, tell our secrets. Someone to be there for us when we are feeling lonely or down. Someone who understands you and knows you better than you know yourself. Someone you could lean on. The Holy Spirit is the best, the closest friend that you could ever have, because through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He lives right inside of you. You can't get closer than that. He is a 24/7 best friend. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus referred to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the promise of my Father. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. Where did the events of the day of Pentecost occur? In Jerusalem. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is promised to believers, and God will never break His promises. But the believer needs to earnestly pray and seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 reads, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's the way we have to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray with all your heart. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18. Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 18. Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues speak of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying one to another, what does this mean? But others were mocking, saying, they are full of new wine. Or this version says, of sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day, which would be probably 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. And on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Why was this event called the Day of Pentecost? Let's dig into this a bit. In the Old Testament, God had developed a feast called the Feast of Harvest, also known as the Feast of Weeks, that lasted only one day. In the New Testament, which was written in Greek, the feast was called the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost in Greek means 50. This feast of Pentecost occurred 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. During the Feast of Pentecost, Jews from different countries and languages around the world will come to Jerusalem to celebrate the grain harvest. It is not a coincidence that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, came when people from different countries would be in Jerusalem, who would be able to understand the different languages given by the Holy Spirit. These people heard the disciples and others glorifying the Lord in their native language, a language that the disciples did not know. The baptism of the Holy Spirit always comes with the evidence of speaking in tongues, always. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, they shall speak with new tongues. Other references that speaking in tongues is evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be found in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19. What is speaking in tongues? And why does this activity occur? Let's explain it. When you speak in tongues, you are communicating with God in a language that you do not understand. The reason for the language barrier is so that the Lord can communicate with your spirit without the interference of your mind. Some Christian faiths do not accept or believe in speaking in tongues. Well, considering that most, if not all of us, have studied one or more foreign languages in school, speaking in tongues should not seem odd. We had to study, take exams. The Lord gives us a new language with no studying or taking exams, and he makes you fluent in that language. Studying a foreign language is popular today. So why should some Christian faith think that speaking in a God-given foreign language is odd? We have Rosetta Stone today. You can buy it online. Teach you a foreign language. I have it for French because I have French in high school and college. Rosetta Stone is very effective. God gives you a foreign language naturally much better than Rosetta Stone. Don't have to study. Don't have to practice. He gives you the language fluently. Think of that. The Lord has given specific messages to a person speaking in tongues. There's a story of a Chinese woman. She had come from her native land of China and settled on the West Coast. She looked for a church and happened to walk into a Pentecostal church. And this woman, this Chinese woman, was very lonely because her family was still in China. And I guess she was wondering, should I really have left my country to come here, come to the United States? Someone was speaking in tongues during that service. It was actually a message given to this woman. The message wasn't given in English. It was given in her native Chinese language to a person speaking in tongues. The person speaking in tongues did not know Chinese. The Holy Spirit was given the message in her native Chinese language. The message was, don't worry, I have brought you here for a reason. You did not come here by mistake. Like, take courage. The Holy Spirit gives messages. I don't know why people think speaking in tongues is odd. It's a God-given language. He gives messages when persons are speaking in tongues. You are communicating with God also. Your spirit with God. I think that's awesome. In some cases, when the person is filled with the Holy Spirit, his or her body is shaking. Now again, some people, oh, it's odd. Look, that person is shaking. That shouldn't be going on. And people feel this way. That shouldn't be happening. You know, well, as an answer to that, I would say, if you see a person visibly shaking or trembling during the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is not odd or out of order. When you consider that the Spirit of the Almighty God is coming into person, Spirit of the Almighty God, who could contain him? Tell me. When we sing, how great thou art, how great is our God, we know that God is almighty, mind-boggling beyond our wildest imagination. As I just said, who could contain him? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 reads, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. And a person's going to wonder if a person may shake during the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. Knowing these attributes of God, why should it seem odd or out of order that a person may shake when the Spirit of God comes in him or her? The heavens cannot contain him. Some Christian faiths believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the time of the apostles. I don't know why they think that, because Joel chapter 2, verse 28 states that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. So if the Bible says that, why did they say it was only for that time? That the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the time of the apostles. The Word of God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh in the last days. We're in the last days now. Okay. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an undeserved gift. In this baptism, you are not getting the Spirit of some great saint. You're not getting the spirit of the Archangel Michael. You are receiving the spirit of the Almighty God. And you haven't been baptized yet. Let me tell you, those of us who haven't baptized, you don't know what you are missing out on. You are receiving the spirit of the Almighty God. Isn't it wonderful that God wants to put his spirit in us? Don't you want him to fill you? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the most precious, most awesome, greatest gift a person could ever receive. And remember the message of a couple of weeks ago. We want to be empty of ourselves, otherwise we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. If this bottle is full, you can't put anything in it. We have to be emptied so God could pour his Spirit in. We say emptied of what? Ask God to show you what you have to be emptied of, and then ask him to help you to get rid of that stuff, things that are not of him, that don't belong in your life. Make room for the Holy Spirit. Be empty so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will never regret it. I just hope this message really hits home for you. And now we're going to get down to pray. If we could, if someone could lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message.